This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
On juries, I did the jury summons thing today as I was called, and I'm going to talk about that experience in a moment. And boy, it's a good thing that people do try to serve and that they're out there hopefully trying to get the best, certainly the system's trying to get the best people they can for these juries. But imagine how tough it is and was with the pandemic. That put so many trials on ice, and there's a backlog across the United States. How are you, America and beyond our borders? Hopefully you're doing well. It feels like the world is opening up in some senses, and in others you still got lockdowns happening in parts of Australia and other parts of the world. India is still dealing with the horrific SOB of a virus and the different variants that COVID-19 has put us all into this tailspin that we're still untangling, if you will. In the U.S., it is about that 70% for the prez. He wants to see 70% of the country vaccinated. And, of course, that is for the push to make sure that there's herd immunity. Let's face it, that's what it's about. So money's being offered, sporting tickets are being offered, all kinds of things to try to coerce, convince those who don't want to be vaccinated to get vaccinated. We'll see if that 70% becomes a reality on the 4th of July. I'm not so sure about that. We're at 60.3%, according to Johns Hopkins. 169.1 million people have been vaccinated, at least one dose of the vaccination. So the total population, 50.9%. Cases have plummeted. That's the great news, and we know that. Normally, for the past, whatever it's been, 14 months, I'd go on the air and I'd tell you what the numbers were and where it seemed like the worst cases were. But now it's about what's happening, what's opening up, what's going on with people and work situations. Is there going to be discrimination for those who don't get vaccinated? Is there going to be vax cards that are required in some cases, maybe to travel to other lands, other countries? I think that's going to happen. But what does it mean for people in big crowds? We just had a conversation yesterday about fireworks and people gathering for fireworks displays. And what was that going to look like? Are you still seeing people in mass? Are there people that are vulnerable? I mean, these are all valid questions, and we are not done with the coronavirus. It feels like in the United States that it's much better. Hey, Taiwan got a vaccine boost from the U.S. and from Japan. So the U.S. is helping, is sending doses, 25 million doses to Asia, Latin America, the Caribbean, Africa. Yay, good. Help everyone we can, because we really are all in this together. So it's about the updates and what's happening in so many other places. And, you know, the vaccine and state by state, it's different as to how many, and depending on your state, you know, how many have been given one dose. I'm just going to throw out a couple for you. So in California, 54%, Oregon matching pretty much the same, and Washington in that general area. In Texas, like 43%. In Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, Tennessee, Arkansas, and Oklahoma, you're on the low end of the 40s. And in the Northeast, the Maines, the Vermonts, the New Hampshires, the Massachusetts, the New Yorks, the PAs, the New Jerseys, etc., Connecticut, at the very high end of being vaccinated, you know, at least one dose, 54%, right? Really, really jumping up. In fact, it's I could break it down more. Vermont, 70%. Maine, 63.7%. Massachusetts, 66.8%. Connecticut, 63.6%. New Hampshire, 60.2% of the population, at least one dose. So that's the difference, because then fully vaccinated, it dumps down into those high 50s I was talking about. So there's a big difference there, and there's those arguments over, well, okay, one dose, but then are those people going back for another dose? And then you can break it down even further into other demographics. So it's interesting how far we've come, and yet how many arguments and how many potential hot spot areas we could see bubbling up again, meaning people are with heated arguments and ways to defend what they're saying when it comes to schools, when it comes to work, when it comes to demands of being vaccinated. And right now, there's no way companies can do that. And it doesn't look like that's happening anytime in the near future. You know, let's put it that way at this point, right? That's not happening yet. But will it happen? Could that happen? Could that be something that happens? And I'll tell you the one thing that I say is the buzz in the land is, please, we need help. I've seen more help wanted signs. No kidding. There's a massive worker shortage. I mean, advertisements galore for workers, workers, workers. We pay well. We'll give you a bonus, etc., etc. I mean, all over the map. Everywhere. Everywhere I look, we're seeing that. Yeah. Crazy. All right. We started off with Law and Order, the theme to Law and Order. So how about this realtor group? A coalition of realtor groups asked the Supreme Court on Thursday night to block the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's order that prohibits landlords nationwide from evicting tenants who fall who fail to pay rent in the middle of the COVID-19 pandemic. The current moratorium is set to expire on June 30th. The realtor group asked the justices to step in on an emergency basis, arguing that Congress never gave the CDC the staggering amount of power that they now claim. They argue that the moratorium has resulted, ready for this, in over $13 billion in unpaid rent per month. Because remember, the CDC extended the eviction moratorium to June 30th in March, making it the third time the deadline was lifted and the ban pushed back. And those orders went into effect last September. So there have been several legal challenges to the moratorium. Some courts have said the CDC has the authority to issue the order and reject efforts to stop the ban, while others have ruled in favor of the landlords. A federal judge in Ohio, for example, ruled that the CDC had overstepped its authority in issuing that eviction ban. Housing experts are noting that there have been conflicting rulings at the district court level, all of which have limited impact. So this is a very, very big one. This happened on Thursday night, asking them to block the order.
If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world. world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
To call this odds and ends, because after all, and I said it in the first hour, there's so much happening around the world and here in our own backyards, what I call the buzz. And what is the buzz? The buzz is what's happening right in front of our faces. What's going on with not enough workers? What's going on with your company? What's going on with the place you work? What's going on with your health? What's happening in your communities? What's happening with gas prices? What's happening with cybersecurity, for goodness sake, right? I mean, there's a slew of it, slew of stuff that we're tracking, and I know you're tracking it too. And I say this all the time when people tell me, oh, I don't vote, I'm sick of government, I'm tired of it, I hate it. Oh, well, people that get elected, it's all the same thing. It's all the same thing because not enough people vote. If you get involved locally, wait and see. You see the difference when you go to some of those city council meetings. You pay attention to what's happening with the county. And then you take it, you know, notch it up a little bit further. And then you get involved when I say know the issues, know the judges, know the people that are out there that are running. And then you may be a little more satisfied instead of taking that attitude of, yeah, it doesn't matter. That's why it's so lame when we have elections and we can't get a higher percentage of people that vote. Now, I wonder why there's always so much maneuvering and let's get transparency and let's look at a election integrity. For goodness sake, if more people legitimately voted, I think there would be less problems. I do. I think if there was an avalanche of people, there would be less problems. But instead, a lot of times it's about fighting for what I call crumbs, decent crumbs sometimes in some areas. But why isn't that number higher? Why isn't it higher? Yeah. All right, so let's ping and pong in a couple of different directions. Coming up, what's on tap is this UFO report to Congress that's really creating a lot of conversation. Ask yourself this. Do you believe in aliens? Do you believe in life on other planets? Do you believe that there are serious unidentified flying objects out there that are like the spaceships we've seen in the movies? Use your imagination. Anyway, the U.S. intelligence agencies will present to Congress a highly anticipated unclassified report about what they know about UFOs, or the Pentagon calls them unexplained aerial phenomena. However, will the report contain the answers that UFO peeps are looking for, that these encounters may be proof, especially the military encounters, that there is extraterrestrial life, that they will prove, will it show that? Especially the Navy. They had all these fighter pilots that had these incredible photos of things that were unexplained. Florida Republican Senator Marco Rubio, who was at the time the chairman of the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, where this stuff is being released, some of the information, succeeded in including language in the Intelligence Authorization Act late in 2020 that required the intelligence community to prepare for the committee a detailed, unclassified report on unidentified phenomenon. So, we'll see. It's supposed to be submitted to Congress on June 29th. That is the 180th day deadline required by the legislation when it went into effect on June 1st. So, I don't know. Either hold on to your hats or, yeah, it's not really what I thought it was going to be. Of course there's unidentified phenomena out there. Of course there is. But what is it? I mean, a flying sphere that's hurtling past us? I don't know. Like I said, something that looks like a spacecraft. I can't wait to see this because nobody ever talks about it. Meaning, they never talk about it in Congress and they have eyes on classified docs. So are we going to see anything that is going to blow us away? I'm thinking no. I'm thinking we're not going to see that. Mm-mm. All right, this affects all of us for sure, or at least some of us with Apples that are walking around with Apple products, the iPhones, and you might have an Android, you might have an iPhone. But if you have an iPhone, every time they upgrade this iOS stuff, I hate it, right? So iPhone users have been reporting battery issues after upgrading to the latest iOS 14.6 software. You see it all over Twitter and whatnot, and their community forum complaining about it, saying they're seeing terrible battery performance. Why is it draining the battery so fast? And some people claim their battery life and overall health has been affected of the phone. And then others are warning that battery life is commonly affected for a day or two after an upgrade, that you have to wait and it's best. Here's what I hate. You get used to whatever the phone had and you have to change it, because if you don't, then there's more problems with it. So you don't have a choice but to upgrade. You can wait a little bit, but eventually you have to do that. So you like the way the apps look, you like the way the phone is, you get it, you can work it, and then it changes. But this is technology, right? This is the yin and yang of technology. And it's a frustration I know many of you feel. I know it. I know you feel it. All right, speaking of frustration, here's one. And I talked about this a little bit the other day. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's opponents are pushing for a quick parliament vote to formally end his rule, hoping to head off any last-minute attempts to derail their newly announced coalition government. That's what they're calling it. And the main coalition partner is a guy named Naftali Bennett, who declared they had reached a deal to form a new government, and they had a majority in the 120-member parliament. So that coalition consists of eight parties from across the political spectrum in Israel with little in common except the goal of toppling Netanyahu after 12 years in power. They're trying to boot him. They're trying to unseat him. And he is, of course, lashing out at all of his foes. And Bennett, who is slated to become prime minister, has come under pretty heavy pressure from the hardliners who accuse him of betrayal. So it's a little rocky there in Israel as to who will ultimately emerge the victor in the middle of all this. Will it be a new face or will it be Netanyahu? Could still be. I don't know. Meat and cyber attacks. Have you noticed that meat is missing from the shelves when you go to the grocery store? Something we all have in common. Unless you're vegetarians and you're listening, and good for you, then you probably shop at Whole Foods or Sprouts or the farmer's market or some other place. And maybe you just go to the regular store, the grocery chain store, but you're getting the vegetables. So the cyber attack that disrupted operations at JBS, which is the world's largest meat supplier, is now definitely attributed to a Russia-linked ransomware operation. And they're saying it. They said it as of midweek. They became aware of the attack on Sunday over Memorial Day weekend and then released a statement on Tuesday night saying they had made significant progress in resolving the hack, which disrupted operations at more than a dozen U.S. facilities, including a huge beef plant in Greeley, Colorado. But people panic a little bit. There was some clearing of the meats, depending on where you live. JBS has not said how much ransom the hackers are demanding and if the company is actually going to pay it or not. The representative, Ken Buck, a Republican who represents Colorado's 4th District, urged the Biden administration to hold the criminal hackers and affiliates with them accountable for the attack. It's wild. I mean, how much this one group profited. $81 million from extortion threats in 2020. Mm-hmm. Revil. That's the name of the group. Cyber security experts say they appear to consider an organization's annual revenue with ransom demands ranging from $1,500. So even on the low end, you could get nailed to $42 million. Remember the Colonial Pipeline? That was nearly $5 million that they paid to a different Russian hacker. I mean, what are the Russians doing? I mean, they're just multiplying these hackers, or this is where it's all coming from? What's next? I'm almost afraid to even throw that out there. Stay with us.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
A fourth round of negotiations is set for Friday as President Biden and Senate Republicans try to find common ground on an infrastructure bill. Republicans are saying absolutely no to raising the corporate tax rate, so President Biden is now offering a 15% minimum company rate to stop many larger corporations from paying nothing at all in taxes.
This should be completely acceptable to a number of Republicans.
White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki. She also said the president has gone far beyond halfway to reach an agreement with the Republicans. The FBI is investigating Postmaster General Louis DeJoy over an alleged private sector campaign finance scheme. He allegedly pressured employees to donate to Republican candidates and reimbursed them through bonuses when he was leading North Carolina-based New Breed Logistics from 2000 to 2014. This is USA Radio News. The White House says President Biden won't appoint a January 6th commission. USA Radio's Dan Naraki has more.
The White House says President Biden won't appoint a commission to investigate the January 6th riots at the Capitol. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said in a statement Thursday that while the administration believes that the riots do deserve a full investigation, President believes that Congress has the role and ability to carry out that investigation. Some Democratic lawmakers had called on Biden to appoint a presidential commission to investigate the riots after a bill to create a 9/11-style commission failed in the Senate. From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
F. Lee Bailey, a criminal defense attorney best known for representing O.J. Simpson during his murder trial, has died in Atlanta, his family has announced. He died while in hospice, but the family declined to reveal why. He also represented Patty Hearst for crimes she committed with the Symbionese Liberation Army after the group kidnapped her. Bailey was 87. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Toronto, in our virtual green room, Malak Kalmoni Shehab joins us, and she's written a book called Perfectly Flawed. Malak, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So let's talk about the road to writing this book. What sent you in this direction?
As I told you previously, I mean, I was born and raised in third world countries. So I was born in Africa to Lebanese parents. So when the civil war started in Africa, we moved to Lebanon. Lebanon, there was another civil war, and we moved to Canada. And then, you know, the moves back and forth and the contrast between the living, the lifestyles and the justice systems and all of these issues, they become flashing lights, if you want, for a youngster. And then they sort of stay with you, and then they grow. And then at a certain point, you feel that the need to express yourself. And that's what I've been trying to do.
So, boy, it's so interesting. Like you say, all the things you had to navigate for your parents, for you, for your family, that had to be tough, but maybe rewarding in some sense once you found the right spot.
Yeah, I mean, you also have to take into consideration my husband is a veteran in the Lebanese army. And the past decade or so with the Syrian war and everything, there's a huge upheaval in the area, and that has affected our country as well. So we moved back to Canada because of that upheaval.
Wow. So
yeah.
So you decide you're going to write the book, and give us a sneak peek of the book. Somebody gets the book, what can they expect to read in Perfectly Flawed?
Well, I divided the book into three chapters, or if you want, themes. The first one is relationships. The second one is post-colonialist and social and religious commentary. And the third one is basically self-growth, self-awareness, those kinds of issues. Now, I do know that the first one, everyone has relationship problems and all of that. I talk a lot in the first one about my mother-in-law passing. She was a great supporter. And the effect of losing her was huge. Now, I'm very lucky. I have a wonderful mother, it's still it was a loss.
Yeah. How do you get over that? Well, I mean, what do? You don't get over it, I guess. But how do you move on? I mean, there's plenty of people listening to us having a conversation that have gone through that.
You know what? I usually, faith is a huge issue that helps you move on with it, and thinking that they've moved on to a better place. That's one. Second issue is that, you always remember the good things. And, you know, you'd be eating something and then you'd remember, oh, this is one of her favorite meals, or this is one of her favorite desserts and things like that. And it's really wonderful how that affects not only me, but my husband and my children. So it's a wonderful, I mean, the loss itself is very difficult, but when you move on from the actual pain, and move on to acceptance, that's when you start remembering the very good parts, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. What do you hope people take away from reading your book, Perfectly Flawed, which you can get on Amazon.com?
The crux would be that life gives you lemons and you make lemonade. You always have to have a very positive outlook, a very open mind, because life is difficult and it's getting harder and harder, not easier. At least that's my take.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because why is life getting harder and harder? It's kind of like technology is great, but then there's the other side of it, and there's things that are happening that make sometimes the connection and relationships more difficult.
I mean, since you brought up the idea of relationships, I mean, thinking of relationships and the pandemic, this is a huge issue. I mean, if you think about it, how are the children being raised today? The ones that started school and then suddenly after a year of going to school, they've stopped. They're becoming very isolated, and their character is changing in a more self-centered kind of direction, you know?
Uh-huh.
And that's not something that you want, really. And then if and when life goes back to normal, how are they going to reintegrate into society? But that also applies to us as adults, because we've gotten so used to, you know, you're home, you're in your PJs, you're barely going out, you're not interacting. And then when you do see someone, that, you know, that physical acceptance, that hug, that kiss or whatnot is all removed now.
Right. Yeah, and you talk about that in your book. You talk about relationships, why that's so important.
Yes, 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 I do. And it's, I mean, not only the relationships, but how they affect you as well. You know, how certain relationships that are close relationships that can be destructive, but you grow from that. You do not let it limit you and then turn you into a pessimist. No. You have to move on. You have to be stronger than that. And you have to accept it and then say, okay, well, this is who they are. This is who I am. They like it. They don't like it. That's too bad. You know?
Yeah.
And it's just a need to move on and to move forward. That's the important part.
You know, and for you in writing the book Perfectly Flawed, to actually go through it, write it, and then see it published, what was that like for you?
I actually started writing in the year about 2001, poetry. And one of my professors said, wow, I really like your perspective and your use of your wording. And honestly, I was just so flabbergasted that, you know, she actually enjoyed the way I wrote. And I've been writing off and on since then. When we moved back to Canada and I started writing full time because I had several surgeries back to back. So I was homebound anyway. So that was my outlet. And honestly, I just started writing and then it made me feel better. It changed my outlook on life, honestly. And seeing the actual production now, I don't know if you've, you probably heard this a lot. And artists, you know, they're never satisfied.
Right.
And they're always scared when their product is online or is available for the masses. That's my issue right now. I'm scared.
Don't be scared. It's really, really well done. And it's because as people know and people listening know, when it's authentic and you put yourself into it, which you did, then it comes out in the end and it shows.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. I just hope that it's taken in a sense, in a critical sense of society, where society is a developing social system, where we need to progress in a positive direction rather than in a negative one.
Right. Boy, and that is so true.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it's a social criticism for building, not for deconstruction, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think you nailed it. Perfectly Flawed. Malak Kalmoni Shehab. Again, it's on Amazon. You can pick it up there. Congratulations on the book. And thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
This is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. Things are falling apart, it seems, every day. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, especially food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take a moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. With over a dozen years' experience, My Patriot Supply has earned over 40,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious, calorie-rich food averages 2,000 calories per day and lasts in storage up to 25 years, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for something bad to happen again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Jackson Berry joins us now, and he is in Melbourne, Australia. He's written a book. It's actually 101 Poems Before I Die. I love that title. And we were talking off the air, but I'm going to let him tell you how many poems that he wrote before he said to himself, maybe I'll pull all this together. I would say that he has a knack for this, or really, really, besides that, likes doing it, because the amount that he's written is really quite extraordinary in a short amount of time. So, Jackson, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Kate. Thanks for inviting me.
So it's funny because we talked off the air and you were a numbers guy by trade, where you ran payrolls for some really big companies, which was probably an enjoyable job and hectic at times, but it's definitely numbers oriented. So you go from numbers to words and poetry. Did you know you had the desire to do that? Was that ever something you thought about all those years before?
No, probably not. No, it's something I sort of stumbled across with friends and that. I went to a poetry reading and, quite liked what I heard. And then it sort of occurred to me that maybe I might be able to write a poem or two. And over a period of 4 to 5 years, I wrote about 400 poems. And then sort of with such a collection, I thought, well, better do something with these. So I've decided to publish a book. And 101 Poems Before I Die was one of the poems I actually wrote. And, so it sort of sums up in that poem, feelings and my thoughts about writing poetry.
So it's interesting because you say 4 to 5 years, you come up with 400 poems. What did you do? I don't know why I'm thinking of this, but sometimes people like to write longhand or they scribble things out, or they just use the computer. So did you store them up on the computer, or did you have them in boxes, or are they written?
No, I'm old school, so I tend to write freehand. And each poem probably has 7 or 8 drafts before it even, looks like something. So, so I'll sort of scribble something out and then maybe a few days later sort of come back to that poem, redraft it, put it away and then think, you know, I'll come across a word or something. Oh, that's the word I need, you know, and yeah, that's, you know, that'll complete one sentence and one paragraph and yes, and we go from there.
Nice. Do you, you know, when you have that much work out there and then you pull it together, it's hard to say, it's kind of like kids in a way. It's hard to say what your favorite one is, but did you have a poem that you liked the best of all that you've written?
Actually, my very first poem was probably one of my favorites. It's called My Australia Day, and over here in Australia, we have the 26th of January is Australia Day, and I went to a barbecue, and I read this poem out, and that was really my first poem that came together, and I was quite happy with, you know, the way it sort of came out, so yeah, loved it.
And so in writing poetry, sometimes people have a certain style that they follow, and sometimes it's just kind of free form. How did you, when you started to write and then when you got deeper into it, did you study different kinds of poems or are you the freestyler?
Look, I don't study as such. I probably read a lot of poetry, all different forms of poetry. So I probably take bits and pieces out of, you know, anything from Shakespeare through to Cooper, in the UK punk poet. You know, I mean, it may be, you know, just a few words or just a particular line or just the way that it rhymes. I sort of think, you know, that's something I can use. And, yeah, I store it away and, somewhere down the track I'll write that down and, I pick up words that way. I pick up proverbs and things like that I sort of manipulate around and sort of put it in a different context. I don't have a particular style, I don't think. I think there's probably a poem for nearly everyone because there is just so many varied subjects and philosophies, I suppose you could say, within these poems, yes.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. What do you hope people take away from reading your poetry, really?
Oh, I just hope people sort of think, you know, it gives them a seed to germinate just so that they can think of something, you know, think of, something other than, you know, this Monday night we all sort of lead, you know, this 9-to-5. I can sort of spurt them on to thinking about things.
Well, that's a good thing. When you can get people to think about things, that's I think that's a big compliment, obviously. And you mentioned some people that you read and you're a reader, and then that kind of goes, I think, with the flow into what your poems are about. As you said, they're varied. There's so many different slices of life that you tackle in poems. I wonder now that you've got this out there, you know, sometimes when people do a book, you kind of become the life of the party now, even with the pandemic. What did your pals say about putting this together? What do they say about the poetry?
Oh, yeah. I've got a lot of encouragement from other people that, have sort of, read the book and, have read my poems. There's a lot of encouragement out there. And it's something that I was not afraid of, but it was something I thought, well, you know, how are people going to say, you know, oh, he writes poetry. And, but this poetry is, modern poetry about everyday things. So I think that's what sort of people sort of attach themselves to. And I think that's why they like it.
Perfect place to end this. You can get it on Amazon, 101 Poems Before I Die. Jackson Berry, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thanks, Kate.
All right, tail end of the show. A couple of highlights, lowlights, or whatever you want to call them, but quick hits from things that we're talking about across the land, including, politically speaking anyway, boy, this postmaster may have gotten what I'm going to call some of the most publicity or ink or negative negative press, I guess, than I think I've ever heard. I mean, really, how many do you postmasters do you know? Can you recall quickly? Think of them. Close your eyes. Can you think of five postmaster generals ever? No, you can't, right? But the FBI is investigating this one. Postmaster, yes, you guessed it. Postmaster General Louis DeJoy, in connection with his political fundraising. So the FBI is diving in on this one. And in the last couple of weeks, they've interviewed current and former employees of DeJoy's and the business, asking questions about political contributions and company activities. Prosecutors also issued a subpoena to DeJoy himself for information. So this has been a big deal. Now, this investigation inquiries could lead to impending legal peril, perhaps, for the controversial head of the nation's mail service, though Louis DeJoy has not been charged with crimes and has previously asserted that he and his company followed the law in their campaign fundraising activity. So, remember, DeJoy was appointed to run the Postal Service by its Board of Governors last May. He's been dogged by controversy for almost his entire time in office. That's why I say we all know his name. Soon after he started the job, he imposed cost-cutting moves that led to a reduction in overtime and limits on mail trips that mail carriers blame for creating backlogs across the country. I can attest that I got a return to sender piece of mail, which is incredible, that went out, was postmarked March 25th, and it just came back to me 2 months later. The person who I was sending it to, I took a picture of it and said, would you believe this? Was there something wrong? And it turned out there was a wrong last name, but it took 2 months to get to me. That seems like a lot, right? Again, my address was clearly printed on the top of it. Anyway, we'll see if this investigation amounts to much of anything or not. It certainly looks like the FBI thinks that they're on the trail of something. I'm not sure what it is. And then this news, F. Lee Bailey. You know that name. Maybe you don't know that name. He's dead at the age of 87. He's a celebrity attorney who defended O.J. Simpson, Patricia Hearst, and the alleged Boston Strangler. Did you know that? Uh-huh. His legal career stopped when he was disbarred in two states. So he's dead at the age of 87. He died in a hospital in Atlanta, according to his family. But boy, what a long, long, long career. He had 4 decades. And his name was bandied about a lot, sometimes with cursing around it and sometimes with praise, depending on who was talking about him. His last book was The Truth About the O.J. Simpson Trial, The Architect of the Defense. And that's being released. So it's out there, but it's being released wide. Thanks to all of you for listening to this show, and make it count, everybody. Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.